So you were all about SimCity back when that beta was out. How come you haven't bought in SimCity yet?
Because it's still broken.
Yeah. Good. Good. I'm glad because SimCity's stupid.
Why do you hate SimCity so much?
I never liked SimCity. I never got it. I don't know. I tried, like, back when 2000 was big, I was like, eh, then, I think I played some before. It was for the one where, like, you could, like, really, like, you can raise and lower the terrain.
Probably.
Yeah, and I was like, I still don't find this fun. I don't know. Never cared. Still don't.
Okay.
Like, that Anno game, that's a fun city-building game. Because, like, SimCity, like, you don't really build... You don't build really anything. You kind of like...
You zone.
You zone.
And you say where things should be built.
Yeah. Yeah, screw that jazz. So, yeah, SimCity sucked even before this, is my point. So, the end. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for March 13th, 2013. This is Mike Minotti, and I'm joined by my brother, AJ.
Hello.
Hi, AJ, how's it going?
Good.
It's good. So, we got our topics for this week. Should we just say our topics at the beginning of the show so people know what we're going to talk about? That'd be fine.
Do we do that? It's up to you.
That sounds like reasonable. So, I want to talk about the state of the PlayStation Vita. Sales have been increasing in Japan significantly since it got the small price cut there, so I want to talk about if that would work here, yada yada yada, right. Stuff like that. I also want to talk about a series that we would kill as we're kind of moving towards the next generation. Which series deserve to kind of continue over there, and which one should maybe take a break and go away for a while? So those are what are your topics?
I was going to talk about this whole thing that came up earlier in the week about ad blocker and Destructoid, and
that thingy.
How that's affecting things. And then there's a lot of hubbub about the XI3 piston modular PC.
The one that everyone wants to call a Steambox?
But it's not.
Everyone calls that thing a Steambox.
Yeah, so talk about that.
All right.
Then what, Mike?
Then we are going to do our week in gaming. Got lots to talk about there, mostly Tomb Raider. Then we got some community stuff to talk about.
Uh-huh.
And then the releases, and that'll be the show.
Okay.
All right, so go ahead.
Let me start. Which one do you want to do first? You want to talk about Ad Blocker? All right, so...
Wait, Ad Blocker sounds like a terrible thing to start on.
Okay, so XI3, the piston. Man, this is why I asked.
Let's start with one of mine. In retrospect, I wanted to get one of yours out of the way. I'm like, ugh. All right.
Gee, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, the Vita. So, the Vita had a price drop in Japan. Do you remember how much it was? It was like... The equivalent of $50 or something.
Something like that.
Like $250 to $200, I think it was.
Not too dissimilar from the 3DS price drop,
right.
Really.
Well, and the thing is, the sales skyrocketed, like, the one week that it really went up.
This is my surprise face.
But this week in Japan, this is all Japanese, Mike.
Yeah.
This week in Japan, it actually outsold the 3DS.
Which has never happened.
Right. Because... Yeah, it sold 63,581 units. Now, also, there's a game that came out for it called Soul Sacrifice. Do you know anything about this game?
The name rings a bell.
I guess it's a big game, and it sold over 100,000 units.
Wow.
It had a big software launch, too. Which is kind of proving the point. Reasonably priced.
Yeah, because a price drop with a strong piece of software led to sales. Right. I don't believe it.
So, my point is, could something similar... work here.
Absolutely.
Price drop first. Well,
it worked for the 3DS.
It did, but the 3DS also had some strong software to go
with. Yeah,
and
let's
be honest, the 3DS was a lot more expensive than it should have been than the Vita is now. Do you agree? I defended the Vita's starting price.
Yeah, the Vita is starting at $250, like, especially when you compare it to an iPad or iPod Touch. I still think that's fair.
But, you know, the reality is the market's not accepting that, so you have to drop the price.
Right, plus... When the 3DS dropped the price, it wasn't just a price drop. It was the Ambassador Program, which was a good, nice goodwill thing, which you kind of have in PlayStation Plus, although you still have to pay for that. But the other thing was, too, like, you knew Mario Kart and Zelda Ocarina of Time in 3D and all that stuff was coming. What is on the horizon for Vita?
Well, this Soul Sacrifice game, I just looked it up. It's actually it's Keiji Inafune's game, the Mega Man guy.
Oh!
And it's an action RPG.
Okay, but is that
going to resonate here?
Here,
I mean, it looks. I don't. It looks Monster Hunter-ish.
Yeah.
You know? I don't really know. I just looked it up on Wikipedia now. Here's the problem. If I had to name three upcoming Vita games, I don't know if I could. Not kind of the Soul Sacrifice game I just learned about.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Well, the Final Fantasy X.
Maybe?
No, that they said that they're probably doing that. There's gotta be something else.
I'm sorry, it's quiet because I'm trying to think. I really don't know.
That's the problem. Maybe, I think more so than the price. I mean, you have to drop the price, but it's not going to matter if you don't have this software. You know, it's cool that we had, I thought the launch was strong, that you had Uncharted.
Yeah, it was
a
great launch. Window,
you had Gravity Rush, and you know, you had a good launch. But then they immediately hurt so much with those bad Resistance and Call of Duty games.
Yeah.
And just crap like that. And I don't know, they have some work to do. And like plus, like, too, it's like a lot of games now are coming out for the Vita and the PS3, so what's the value in that? Like Sly Cooper.
There is potential value in the PlayStation gamer who, you know, just like a game comes out for iPhone and iPad, especially when they have cross-compatible saves. That's the difference
between spending $5 twice and spending $60. Well, that's where
a price drop becomes attractive. Where I'm not gonna, you know, maybe I'm a guy who's buying all these PlayStation 3 games. I'm like, well, I'm not gonna pay $250 so I could take them on the go. But if it's $170, and if, let's not forget too, they seem to have grand designs for the Vita connecting to the PlayStation 4.
Supposedly.
I mean, if so...
Do you think there'll be a PS4 SKU that comes with a Vita?
That'd be fascinating.
I think it'd be smart.
Smart. I mean, it's a potentially expensive SKU of the system.
What if that SKU costs only $100 more than the other
then
one?
Then that's a damn good move, I think.
You're going to lose some money. But you're going to get Vitas out there.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. It's gotten to the point now where you're not going to attract developers because the install base is not there.
You're right. That's like
they've let it become a catch-22. Mm-hmm. It didn't have to be this way, but they let it happen. Because Sony themselves won't commit their AAA developers
and now,
to it.
Well, and it's almost like first it was bad, but now it's this really bad problem where those guys are very busy making PlayStation 4 games.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit! So who's gonna make these Vita games? It's the same guys who made PSP games, and you know nothing else. They make some cute stuff like Patapon and Loco Roco, but you know, like the 3DS later this month's gonna have Luigi's Mansion 2. When I saw Oz in the theater, there was like this big ad for Luigi's Mansion 2. Like this was a big deal game, you know? Like it looks great. It's you know a big character. You know, like a kind of a sequel to a console game. You know, it looks like it's a big deal.
No.
Penny's not a fan of Luigi's Mansion. I tried to get her to play it before. She was like, what is this GameCube launch game? And I'm like, okay. But my point is, they don't have anything like that on the Vita. They don't have, like, oh, man, this is the big game. It's, you know, only get it on Vita. Like, the only one I can think of is Gravity Rush. Like, you know, a lot of the other games I like for this system are either... They have console versions already, like Persona 4
and Mortal Kombat,
Sound Shapes
maybe.
Came out on thing, you know, Sly Cooper, MLB The Show.
I mean, here's how little confidence Sony has shown the Vita. Sound Shape was supposed to be like, I don't think it was, but people were saying like, oh, this is the Vita game, this is why you're going to get a Vita. And it was a $7 downloadable title. And Sony was like, shit, we need to port this to PS3. Or we're not going to, like, make anything from this.
I went to, like, IGN's thing where they talk about upcoming Vita games. The only two that have actual release dates are Soul Sacrifice, which comes out in April, and Killzone Mercenary, which comes out September 17th.
September?
Yeah.
So there's nothing between April and September?
They've got to be announcing something at E3, but I don't know how soon it's going to come out.
Even that's June.
I mean, that's
June.
Just IGN's thing. Who knows how well they updated, but...
Yeah, well, I'm like to think it's fairly accurate.
I want to see who's making Killzone Mercenary.
Is it Bend? Probably is.
Yeah, I shouldn't laugh.
They made every other crappy Vita first-person shooter...
Wouldn't that be fine?
...derivation.
I hope it is Bend. But... I don't know. I don't know what you do. You gotta do something.
You gotta make games.
You gotta hire people to make those games.
Yeah, make games, or they gotta make the PS4 Vita connectivity really damned compelling. Like, really damned compelling.
Okay, this is pretty interesting. So, Killzone Mercenaries being made by the guys who, like, made Medieval way back when.
Really?
Yeah. And they made the PSP version of Little Big Planet, I guess. And they've been rebranded as Guerrilla Cambridge.
Ah.
So. Yeah, they're formerly just the Sony Computer Entertainment Cambridge studio.
Okay.
So, Medieval. I mean, at least these guys have something of a pedigree.
Yeah, an old one, I guess, but still.
Yeah, I mean, who knows if that's gonna...
It's better than nothing.
We don't know it's going to suck, is my point. Although the last game was TV Superstars for the PlayStation 3.
Huh? What's that?
It's a 2010 party game.
Oh, good. That's the last game they made?
They got 6 out of 10 from IGN.
Oh.
So it didn't give them cancer.
It wasn't the absolute... Didn't give them cancer.
Yeah, so can't be too bad.
6 points for that.
Right, yeah. You know, I'll take it. But, I don't know, that's better. But, yeah, there's... Yeah, they definitely need games. Badly. All right, let's talk about your thing.
All right, let's talk about the Destructoid article about ad blockers. So, I should have wrote this down. The guy who's the, I guess he's the editor-in-chief for Destructoid.
Nero.
Yeah. Yeah, him.
The guy, yeah, the guy started it.
He was shocked and dismayed to learn that, roughly speaking, half of Destructoid's audience uses an ad blocker, which means they may as well not be going to the site at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like...
He wrote a very long thing.
It was
about
super
it.
Long.
It's kind of wordy.
And there was a back and forth he had with some guy who wrote in. Because I guess they found a way to, if you were using an ad blocker, to display this, like, red ribbon at the top of the page that was, like, basically saying, please don't block our ads, like, whitelist us.
Yeah.
And this guy was saying, there's no way to get rid of that, even, like, I'm just not going to Destructoid anymore. So he responded to this guy as, like, what can we do? Like, what would make it better? And so, like, they toned it down so it wasn't bright red, it was, like, a blue, and... They changed the verbiage. I don't know. This guy was like, he seemed to think like, okay, I'm going to whitelist you now, but kind of begrudgingly. And it just got me thinking, like, I know this is like the game journalism about game journalism, but...
Uh-oh. I hate that shit.
You're dealing with a tech-savvy audience already.
Right.
And the problem is, they're going to install an ad blocker, not necessarily to block specifically your ads, but there's a lot of shitty web ads on the internet that, like... You know, the screen goes black and this thing pops up, blocks the whole page.
Right, and that sound kind of ruining it for everybody.
Yeah.
I actually do have AdBlocker, and I have it literally because there was some site, and I was trying to watch a video there, and I literally couldn't get the video to work, and I, like, researched it, said, get AdBlocker, and the video will work.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So, I did, and I'm like, okay, I guess I have AdBlocker. I'm like, I don't care about ads, but,
And... I don't have an answer, like, how else do you make money? Destructoid is now saying they're going to come up with some kind of pay service. Like, additional content that you're going to pay for.
That's not going to work either.
No.
It is the kind of the problem, though. And, there's got to be some other way to make
that,
money than
that
than
will
ads.
Make you money in the short term. You're never going to significantly grow your audience if you're charging for content.
I think GameSpot just ended their premium thing.
Yeah, and as this guy in those letters said... There's a dozen sites with the exact same content.
Yeah, everywhere.
Let's face it. There is very little unique content.
If you have a preview event, you have 20 publications all going to the same preview event, and they're all going to write a preview of the game based on the same footage, and they were shown the same demo they play.
Reviews are going to be...
Reviews are interesting. No, it's good to have a lot of reviews.
No, I agree. I'm speaking kind of like in the Joe the Plumber tone here.
What do you mean? Oh, like what? People don't like reviews?
No, but they don't care where they get them from.
Well, the problem is, like, they don't even need reviews. They go to Metacritic and they see, like...
Exactly.
Like, what was the score?
Exactly. Then, I mean...
And it's turning to a state of the game.
News stories are just publishing press releases with a snarky paragraph at the end.
I hate that. No. I don't... In my experience, I don't like that accusation. Everyone always says that.
I know it's not 100% true.
At least in what I do... I don't know. Some stuff we post, like at GamesBeat, is like we get an email from a publisher and it's news and we'll post it. But, you know, at least to us, it's not like, oh my god, Halo announced that the new Mountain Dew's coming out. We gotta copy and paste their press release and then add our snark.
No, I know GamesBeat doesn't, but Destructoid kind
of
does.
Things, I don't know. There is a bad perception. Like, I was on Reddit and it was like, And it was this really stupid thread on Arc Gaming, and it was like, look at the hypocrisy of IGN. They give every Medal of Honor, Call of Duty game great scores, and yet they criticize this Pokemon game for being not different enough from the last one. And the Pokemon game that they linked to was fucking, like, Pokemon XD2 for the GameCube, which came out God knows when. And I'm arguing these people, like, guys, like, look, these are reviewed by different people with different tastes. This makes no sense. And they're like, no, IGN's just corrupt. And, like, the fact that people, like, jump to that conclusion, like, amazes me. Like, by and large, like, your very average, like, game website reader just assumes that there's rampant corruption in video game journalism, which annoys the hell out of me. Like, I can't post a review, seriously, without, like, five people telling me, you're biased or you got paid off. Fuck you, I got paid off.
You wish you got paid off.
Honestly, yeah. So, yeah, you know, it'd be great if I got paid off. Cause then I wouldn't be in my goddamn mom's basement. But, you know, I mean, Christ. But I know, seriously. You
call her mom a goddamn mom.
Yeah, shut up. Yeah, like, look, I like my job a lot, but, God, these people are so... Sometimes I don't enjoy writing for you. sometimes I wish you... I just wish they weren't so easily ready to grab their pitchforks. And, like, look, just because the game... And, like, they're so hypocritical, too. Like, they hate Metacritic, but as soon as your review isn't, like, in the 10-point range as the Metacritic score, then you're just wrong.
Yeah.
Because you don't agree with everyone else.
Well, we're getting a little too far into the games journalism talk, but...
I have a lot of things I can say about games journalism right now.
If you're not gonna... If you can't beat the ad blockers... How do you make money in
that
space?
That's a million-dollar question.
Right?
It's a million-dollar question. A lot of people thought that the way to do it was to provide really original content and maybe do a pay service. That didn't work. I don't know, because people don't want to give you money. And if the people don't want to give you money, somebody's got to give you money. So if the readers aren't going to give you money, then you have to get, like, sponsors to give you money. And sponsors aren't going to give you money out of the goodness of your heart. It's going to be... through ads, and it's not going to be through ad exposure, it's going to be through ad clicks. And like I said, gamers are savvy. Gamers do not like clicking on ads. Gamers already know what they want. It's very hard to make an ad that will appeal to a gamer. How many ads have you clicked on, like sidebar ads in your lifetime, as long as we've been on the internet?
I think part of the problem is the ads on gaming sites are for games.
And right, you know, and it's like, and yeah, they have to try harder. Like, you definitely have to, you know, push ads that gamers will like, but you can't literally be like, here's an ad for Bioshock Infinite. Like, yeah, no shit, Bioshock Infinite's coming out.
Well, and then you get into the Gershman Gate situation, where you have, like, ads for a game, and then if you give the game a good review, then everyone's like, oh, yeah, it's because they're advertising. Or if you give it a bad review, then it's a, you know, huge deal and becomes this issue where people are getting fired.
Right, right.
Like, I don't know, like... That's why, like, I kind of wish there'd be more Doritos ads on gaming sites.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be like, well, fucking Doritos paid off for this Halo review. I mean, maybe, if you're really cynical.
Oh, God.
But, you know, like, maybe I want the ads for Gillette on Polygon.com.
Can we shave?
Yeah.
Like, put coupons on there. Like, say, hey, click this ad. Get money off your goddamn shaving stuff. I don't know. It's got to be... Like I said, it's a hard problem. If I knew how to solve it, I'd probably be rich, right. But I don't. And honestly, if it doesn't get solved soon, it's going to get bad.
Well, look at how many sites just close. People get laid off from the game journalism industry, like, all the time.
When your job at IGN isn't safe, it's like, that's the
question. Where do you go?
Right, it's like, okay, sweet.
I mean, and it's weird, because you look at a guy like Jeff Green, for example. He was a longtime games journalist, editor-in-chief of various magazines, lived in Berkeley, put a kid through private school. Like, I don't see anyone ever doing that as a
right.
professional like career games anymore. Journalist. You're not going to raise a family in the
I'm
San Francisco
question
suburbs.
If I can. I'll be honest. I've been trying to for years. I don't know if I can do it.
I don't see it. I mean, I don't mean to put a damper on your career aspirations.
Trust me,
but
I'm quite a. The truth has been veiled to me.
Yeah, like, it is.
I mean, I did it for free for
and
2 years.
And honestly, what I'm worried is going to happen to this industry is it's going to become a bunch of hack stuff. I mean, if you have to pay, you get what you pay for.
Right.
And if they're not making money to pay for good writing, like, you know, they're going to pay you an exposure. That's, like, the big fear now.
It's kind of like a vicious cycle.
You're going to get high school bloggers like writing for IGN.
Mm-hmm. People who want to do it for free because they're young and they think it's an awesome job and, you know.
Yeah, you know, Stephen Totilo has to eat.
I have to eat, too.
Yeah, you're fine. You could lose a few pounds.
I'm just kidding. But, yeah, I don't know. It sucks. And the problem, too, is, like, yeah, these social games that are super popular, like Angry Birds. People like Angry Birds, but people aren't, like, looking for Angry Birds journalism.
Yeah, well, I love Angry Birds. I'm going to go to Polygon.com and read about it. Right. Oh, they have an interview with Slash.
Yeah.
Fucking who cares?
Yeah, exactly. No one gives a shit. So, I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe someday we'll just all be fed through sites like Capcom Unity and the official PlayStation blog. I mean, why not?
I mean, I'm trying to think, like, what... How are other industries handling this?
Well, wait, I mean, well,
you have Entertainment Weekly and Ain't It Cool News.
Yeah, but, like, Entertainment Weekly has to cater a lot to, like, look at this celebrity's tits! And, like, you know, and again, they can look at, like, TV things and that, and, you know, they, again, there's they have celebrities to kind of... And people are fascinated with celebrities. We don't have celebrities, which I'm thankful for.
Yeah.
Because I hate that, but... I don't know. I mean, it's kind of depressing. So let's move on. So we're kind of getting to the beginning of a new console cycle. I guess it definitely started, but, you know, Wii U, huh? God of War Ascension came out, I didn't even realize that. It's out now.
Yeah.
Gears of War Judgment's coming out. These are the fourth installments of franchises that are...
They started... What, Gears? God of War was PlayStation 2, Gears was this generation, and they've become very tired but franchises.
They have. I mean, I know I'm personally having a hard time being enthusiastic about it, and they're both prequels. Like, they're both games that came out after their stories ended.
Yeah.
Essentially. It's like, it's done, and there's another one.
Well, and part of the problem is this console cycle has been so long.
Right.
It's like when's the last time, I mean, aside from, like, Mega Man games... That we got four AAA titles.
In one series on one system.
Yeah.
Like Gears of War 1, 2, 3, and 4.
There were two Halos
for the original Xbox. Like you had three Grand Theft Auto games on the last thing, you know? It's stuff like that. You had two Metal Gears. Yeah, usually you have two or three. And it's weird.
But I mean, how many Assassin's Creeds were there? Are there?
That's a good... God, there are...
There's going to be five.
There's going to be six.
Just gonna, yeah. God, I can't like even real count ones, these.
Yeah, it's kind of hard because the numbering's all messed up. But so my point is, if you had to kill off some franchises now and say these need to go away for a while, going into the next cycle, which ones would you pick?
Gears is done. There doesn't need to be more Gears.
You think? I mean,
make the next thing.
Well, that's the thing. Like, especially with Gears. Gears is so kind of it's generic-y.
But Gears was born of Unreal getting old.
Right. So, exactly, so it seems like it's you can just kind of leave Gears behind and do something else.
Yeah, you don't have to keep making Gears.
Like, people like Gears because they like that it's a shooter and it's a fun shooter, but it doesn't really need to be Gears of War. You can just make another one, and it doesn't really have to be like this. It's not like their mythology is that cool. It's not like their world building has been that great or like the characters are that awesome. You could kind of abandon that and do something new. And brand it as, like, the successor to Gears of War, and it'll probably sell just as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Gears of War 1, that's how, you know, that's what they did with Gears of War 1. It's weird, because, like, Gears of War 1 was like, oh, look, we have a new IP, and so quickly it's like, oh, God, this is tired. Yeah,
yeah.
Gears... But again, but the problem is...
It's like, quick, but it's not.
The problem is, it's turned into, like, Microsoft's second biggest exclusive franchise.
Right.
And are they going to let that go?
But then look at Naughty Dog. I mean, they could have announced Uncharted 4, and I would have applauded and cheered. And well, they just went, whoop, over here.
Well, that's because Uncharted is already not like a lot of other things, whereas Gears of War is like a lot of things.
True, but still.
And even...
I'm saying they didn't have to, and they did.
Well, yeah, they also doubled the size of their studio. And they are making an Uncharted 4, or
oh,
whatever
sure,
they
I
call
know,
it.
I know.
But God of War would be another one. I have no interest in playing Ascension right now.
No.
Especially, I'm just so tired of angry Kratos killing things and it being cool.
They did everything they could possibly do. You killed Zeus.
Yeah. I don't know. It is starting to get me uncomfortable. Like, at first I thought, like, there was a point to it, like, oh, he's angry, but that's bad. But now we seem to be celebrating his anger in, like, evilness. Like, I can't remember which one it was in, but there's like that one mission where it was a block puzzle. You had to, like,
and the guy, I knew exactly what you were going to say. That guy was in the crate. That was two.
Was that? Yeah, two was two. It really started going wrong with two. But, like, it just made me uncomfortable. Like, why is there a guy in that crate begging for his life? Why does that need to be in there? Is that entertaining? Is it saying something? Like, what's the mess? I don't understand, you know? And, like, you have that thing, which in itself is not a big deal, that achievement or trophy, whatever the hell they're called. The bros before hoes after you kill some woman. And it's like... and they're, like, already getting rid of that, but...
Especially because that achievement...
Trophy.
Whatever. You're just going to get it. It's not like anything you went out of your way for, right, from the sound of it.
Trophies, yeah, too. But I don't... It's just so... It's weird because, like, I'm beginning to become this guy who's like, oh, video games are too violent. And I don't think, like, it's teaching kids whatever, blah, blah, blah.
It just feels juvenile. It's like, we're better than this.
It really does.
Do we need juvenile. To do that?
And it's like, it's one thing when, like, Kratos is, like, decapitating a monster, and that's kind of cool again, but it's like, oh, people are begging for their lives. It's okay. Like, even in the first couple, there's, like, that guy who, like, you killed five times over, and it's supposed to be funny because he keeps dying. Oh my god, it's hilarious.
I don't know.
I don't get a lot of that kind of stuff. Like, I hate horror movies and stuff like that too. I don't understand the appeal of these, like, mm-hmm. of like, oh, that guy died. Cool. Okay. Like, when it's a game and I'm killing someone, you know, it's fine because that's the game. There's tactile sort of response to that. But, like, it's just watching a guy die. Sweet. Okay. Cool. Oh, they're screaming. Must have killed him real good. Look at all the blood. I don't get that at all.
Yeah.
Like right now, people are like, Evil Dead, sweet. I'm never going to see Evil Dead. And you can say what you want to me about it. You can say, oh, but Evil Dead's a classic. Yeah.
I don't care.
But, yeah, so... And the weird thing is that, like, there's something people found in Ascension that, like, seems to be some sort of, like, hint at the next God of War. And if they're going to do another God of War, it better not be Kratos.
Yeah, and that's
it shouldn't even be Greek mythology, but it better not be Kratos. Yeah,
can you imagine
and
how
Greek
cool
mythology.
If it's like, and we said this after 3. God of War, but it's Norse now.
Just
or
anything, Egyptian,
something.
Just, I don't know, or just don't do it. But again, like, that's like one of Sony's big franchises. So,
Well, you know what franchise I've said this before needs to either die or I actually be good with a reboot. Fucking Resident Evil.
I think it has to after 6, because 6 was critically panned, and it didn't sell as well as it should have. Resident Evil's been around forever. It's not like these other ones we've been talking about, where, like...
Yeah, they're, like, newish.
Right, because Resident Evil is one of the few ones that... It's one of the few franchises that started on, like, the PlayStation era that's still around. The only other one I can think of is Metal Gear.
Yeah.
And, because everything else, like, you have Tomb Raider, I guess, is still around, but that got rebooted.
Yep.
So, it's different.
Twice.
Yeah. I guess rebooted a lot.
But yeah, just
gotta make.
Who the fuck knows what's going on in the Resident Evil universe? Like, what 18-year-old kid who's gonna go like, oh, video games? I like them now.
Well, that's why I think that's why a lot of people liked 4, because 4 had nothing to do with the plot of Resident Evil as a series.
But then the problem is when they came back to 5, it was like, well, here's how 4 fit into everything.
Yeah, it's like, and I don't want 4 to fit into things. I like 4 because it didn't have any stupid Wesker. It didn't have zombies. Wesker's the worst villain in video game history. I hate him so much. But yeah, Resident Evil is another one. I mean, the Call of Duties, they're going to keep happening, so I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I'm not going to even wish for it, to be completely honest. Is there any Nintendo thing?
I guess. Well, that's the thing. Nintendo manages to reinvent their franchises.
Well, except for one. I think we're done with 2D Marios for a while.
Yeah.
No more new Super Mario Brothers, this and that. Ugh, God. The worst is when mom will bring these kids over and, like, I watch them for a little.
They all want to fucking play
Mario. They all
want
to play Mario.
That's why Nintendo keeps making them.
First I was playing New Super Mario Bros. Wii, now I'm playing New Super Mario Bros. U. They may as well be the same goddamn game.
They are the same goddamn game.
I'm so sick of it.
But, you know, for every new Super Mario Brothers, you get a Mario Galaxy.
But you know what's interesting is that I thought that was a really strong choice as a launch title, and I feel like I may have been wrong. Because while those games sell a lot of copies, I don't know if people buy systems to play the new 2D Mario game.
I think it reinforces that it's kind of like the last system. Maybe you need it, maybe you don't.
Maybe it was a big problem. It's like, look how much this is like the other one. It's just like that game you play on your goddamn 3DS.
3 months ago.
Right, and it's like, okay. It should have been... I don't know. I don't know what else you do in Mario. But it should not have been New Super Mario Brothers right away. But I mean, I guess like the team was ready to make it. Yeah. It seems like the timing is important with these things. Like other franchises, I think Resistance is done. I don't think we need to see another Resistance game ever.
No.
Like, it was a PlayStation 3 thing. It had its run. We don't need to see Resistance 4. Although, I don't know. What's that game called? Fused by Insomniac? Does anybody care about that?
I do.
I haven't been reading a thing. Bit. I haven't heard anybody say anything about it.
Well, I'm glad they're making something new.
I guess. In their case, I actually wish they were just making a Ratchet & Clank game. I like the Ratchet & Clank games. They're pretty good. Anything else?
That's like series that we had. Like what's jumping them
Assassin's Creed. I'm not tired of Assassin's Creed. I know it's been yearly, but I'm really not. I'm kind of.
They managed to change it up. I mean, the pirate thing is going to be enough.
Assassin's Creed is a lot different than a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really bother me as much. What are like these other series that have come out like every 2 or 1 year on this kind of go? Yeah, like Uncharted's getting near its fourth. We said we don't really care about that. Really, God of War and Gears of War are the two big ones. It's pretty funny that they both like have their fourth prequel installments coming out this month.
Yeah, right.
It is just a sign of like
yeah, you know? Yeah.
Like here you go.
You know what I think's finally done? What? World of Warcraft.
What are you talking about?
I'm ready for.
Are you done with it or is it done?
No, I'm. I guess I'm done with it.
Okay, that's all right. Fine.
Yeah.
Well, I think you might be done with.
Hotbar MMOs?
I was going to say MMOs, to be honest. Anyway, I don't know.
Although...
If, like, the thing I'm done with them...
We'll talk about more in...
It's like every year I play less and less MMOs. That's what happens. Like, in 2000, like, six, I was playing a lot of MMOs, and ever since then, it's like...
Well, I've become less and less interested in games that are time sinks. And an MMO is, like, the ultimate time sink.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay, what's your last one, the Piston?
So, yeah, the Piston, which really is this modular PC. Well, the reason it's coming up again is because at South by Southwest, they announced pre-orders for the $1,000 PC, and you get $100 off if you pre-order it. It's a long ways away from coming out, actually, still. They're saying, we hope to have it out by the end of 2013.
I don't understand. Is it just a PC?
It is.
Can I plug it in on my desk right here and run Windows off it?
Yeah. It's using an APU, which is...
Not a CPU?
It's the CPU and graphics processor on a single chip.
Okay.
Which right away makes you think, well, it can't be as powerful as dedicated hardware.
I really don't get these things. Like, the Steam Box, like, this does no appeal to me. Because at this point, it's like, well, I'll save money and get a real computer.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. And for $1,000, you can hand-build a fucking high-end computer. Like, really good.
Like, the only way this...
It's not going to be that small little box.
And that's my question with this... That's my question with the Steam Box is... In order for the Steam Box to be attractive, it's got to cost $200.
Yeah.
And how can it? to run high-end PC games, how can it?
Let's not even talk about Steam Box, because that's the other problem.
That's the big problem,
but
though.
That's the problem, is everyone's calling this a Steam Box because they kind of said maybe something about that CES. It's not. But here's my point.
Well, then whatever this thing is, no one wants it.
Well, they're asking people to pre-order a $1,000 micro PC that's going to come out almost a year from now. I have no idea how powerful it is. I have no metric. Like, if I put Crysis 3 in this thing, am I running it at medium? Am I running it at ultra? Like, I don't know.
There's another series that we can be done with for a while.
Sure. But... I, that's my biggest thing with this right now. I have no idea how this, they're saying, oh yeah, it's going to run games. Well, fucking duh. How well is it going to run games? It's still a PC. And no one has benchmarks on this thing. I'm not going to plunk down $1,000.
There's going to be some very tech-curious people who...
I'm sure as soon as it's out, we'll find, people will run it through the ringer. But who the hell is
going to... Well, it better be nicer than the Ouya.
Who on blind faith is going to pay $1,000 for this thing?
That's still my question with the Ouya. I still don't understand what games you're playing on the Ouya. Or whatever, Ouya.
Android phone games.
Is that really it? Because people don't talk about that like that.
I mean, there's going to be like a version of Hawken for it.
Hawken's a kind of high-end game, isn't it?
And they have a version of it that's going to run... Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's not going to be in the Ouya. It's on the Project Shield. Because that's a Tegra 4 processor.
I don't know what
processor.
All these goddamn things are. I'm sorry. I hate these alternative consoles. I know a lot of people are excited about them because they're open. But,
I mean, I like the idea of a PC, a nice PC hooked up to a television. But again, I don't need it to be the size of an Apple TV. See, it can be bigger. It's okay.
I still don't find the appeal of that. I have a PC, and I have a game system. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, well, you're not as much of a graphics whore, I guess.
But but that's, what are you talking? We don't know if these graphics are gonna matter. It doesn't matter about graphics. I have the graphics right here on my computer.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, but don't you want that on your 60-inch TV?
Why?
Huh?
I'm sitting closer to this thing. It's the same thing. Spatially, it's pretty similar. So
people want the experience of kicking back in the couch with a controller rather than hunched over the mouse and keyboard.
I'm comfortable both ways. I don't know.
Well, you are, but...
I don't get it.
I mean, part of it, when the PS4 and Xbox, whatever, if they make one, comes out, then yeah, that gap closes again.
Yeah, but, for a while.
I mean... Like you were dismissive of me saying Tomb Raider on PC is something I'm interested in. And you're like, why?
Well, your PC's bad.
Well, I mean, yes,
it would have been a viable option for me, but not for you.
Yeah, and I said, like, it would be for that set when down the line I get a new PC, I have it running on that.
Well, you're really going to... You think in 2 years or whatever, with all the games coming out, you're going to go back to Tomb Raider then?
No. Yeah. That's why I didn't ultimately buy it.
Right.
I was speaking of hypotheticals. But
your hypotheticals are bad.
For someone who just bought a new PC a year ago and is capable of running Tomb Raider on max settings, do you think they'd rather play it on their 20-inch monitor on a 55-inch TV with a controller?
Well, depends on the game now, controller.
Well, I'm talking Tomb Raider specifically.
Well, Tomb Raider's a console game, so...
Is it?
I'd rather,
it looks a lot better on PC.
And that's right now because we're at the end of the cycle.
Exactly, but
okay, but again... This is going to be a non-issue by the end of this year again.
I understand that.
But, I mean, at least for a while. I mean, maybe this is the beginning. Look, all I'm saying is the stuff we ever know, we just pissed the thing. Not impressed. We'll see what the Steam Box is just because there's excitement because, you know, it's Steam. But I don't see how it can be that cool.
The Steam Box, by definition, is going to run Linux. And look, I know Valve, for whatever reason, Gabe Newell thinks Windows 8 is like the devil.
I'm so sick of that.
But... You're not going to get fucking Call of Duty on Linux, if at all. It's going to take, like, years before that happens. You need to sell a lot of Steam boxes and get a lot of gamers on Linux. I mean, we barely get Mac ports of stuff.
Right.
I just don't see it. If it can run Crysis 3 on Ultra for $1,000 and is that little thing, sweet. But yeah, for $1,000, if it's going to play Crysis 3 at medium, why am I spending $1,000 just so the box is smaller?
It's just because you have a small piece of technology.
It goes under my TV. What do I care what size it is?
Yeah. All right. Are we in gaming?
Yeah.
Well, I've been playing the Tomb Raider game. Which
I played a little bit of it.
What was that?
I got an email.
Did you get it? Is your toaster strudel done?
I wish. Yeah.
Okay, but... Well, first, I beat Ni No Kuni.
Oh, yeah, let's get that.
Which I loved Ni No Kuni. It was everything I was hoping it would be. Just gorgeous game. I've been gushing about it, so I want to see some things that were kind of weird about the ending. Well, for one thing, the ending is... You've seen some of those movies, like the Ghibli movies.
They end.
Exactly, they end.
End.
There's no falling action. And it's weird because in a JRPG, there's usually 30 minutes of, like, falling action, you know? Like, this is what these characters do now. And this is, like, this is more like a Ghibli movie. Like, the end happens, and yay, credits, you know? That's kind of it. What else is weird is, I was doing some research into, like, the differences between the DS game that came out first in Japan and this one. And structurally, they're very similar. The DS game, like plot-wise. Mm-hmm. Although the DS game is turn-based. It's not real time, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But, basically, the game has two endings, because there's a point where the DS game ends, and that's where this game ends.
Mm-hmm.
But they added stuff so that there's kind of like this, another 5 hours in this other ending.
In the PS3 version.
Yeah, in the PS3 version. And like that was kind of like the whole point. It's like, oh, we added it. Remember how there's Persona 3 and there's Persona 3 FES?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Okay.
Except, like, you know, FES is here and we don't know that it's, like, new. Like, we think it's been there all along.
Okay.
But it's interesting because in the first ending, like... It's kind of like the real ending because it's like Oliver's arc completes, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like, and you know, the arc obviously being like the thing about his mother, you know? Like, that ends there, and then you kind of have this other stuff, and it's fun and it's cool, but, like, the story's kind of done.
It almost feels like DLC.
Right, but, like, the good thing about it is that, like, they introduce all the elements of it, like, since the beginning of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, like, totally jarring.
Okay.
But it is kind of weird, and you do kind of wonder, like, is the game over? Oh, there's more to do. Now I can watch the ending. Oh, it's over. It's a different ending than you... Because, like I said, you're used to these really long, elaborate JRPG ending, mm-hmm. where it's like, every character... Like, let's show what every single character is doing now, and how they're all happy, and here's 30 minutes of credits, and you better watch the credits, because there's something afterwards. Nope, not really. Nope. That's not this. But my point is that I liked Ni no Kuni. I don't know why I called it Ni no Kuni.
I don't know.
Ni no Kuni, Ni no Kuni. Really, really good. One of my favorite JRPGs. One of my favorite PS3 exclusives. And more so for its charm. Yeah, it's funny, because between that and Fire Emblem, I played, like, just two really awesome... I don't want to call them both RPGs, but, you know, they're both kind of RPGs.
That are very Japanese.
Very Japanesey.
That's good.
Ni no Kuni, more Japanesey.
All right.
And if I had to say which one was better, I would probably say Fire Emblem, because, like I said, I listed those flaws with Ni no Kuni, and I feel like my other... If I had one more big flaw with it, I feel like the party member AI isn't as good as it can be, and I wish there were more, like, controls, like in Final Fantasy XII, for their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a huge problem, but I wish that was there. Whereas Fire Emblem, like, I can't say what's wrong with Fire Emblem.
Right.
But even still, like, the auxiliary stuff, and you know, like, the music and the art direction, I like so much, they're still both very close to me.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, I spent 40 some hours on this JRPG. I need to play an action game, so I got Tomb Raider, and I've never played Tomb Raider. I mean, I played Tomb Raider. I think the last one I played significantly at all was Tomb Raider 1 on our Sega Saturn.
And that we just played, like, the thing running around our mansion.
Yeah, I never got far. Just the thing, like the obstacle course.
Yeah.
I never got it. I mean, they kept making them, and I still never found it fun. I never cared. They rebooted it once.
And I enjoyed that first reboot. It
was
good.
Which one was that?
Legends. No, Anniversary. No. What was first? Legends or Anniversary?
Well, Anniversary was like...
A kind of retelling of the first one.
Which people did like.
Yeah.
I didn't even touch it.
It was good.
I didn't even touch that. But I think Legends was first. Yeah, Legends was first. Anniversary was the last one that came out. So yeah.
No. Because there was...
Yeah.
No, there was...
Yeah.
One after that.
Uh-uh.
Uh-huh.
All right. I'm searching the Tomb Raider game list.
I think it went Legends Anniversary, and then...
What was the fourth one on... Name them.
1, 2, 3, Angel of Darkness.
No, you're missing one. Revelations, right?
No, I don't think...
Yeah, Angel of Darkness was the first PS2 one. There was another PS1 one. Oh, yes. Oh, you're completely wrong.
Revelations is an Assassin's Creed game.
There's a game called Tomb Raider Revelations. It's not like it's a... Oh, my God, I can't wait to own you on this.
All right.
It's going to be sweet, sweet.
Who can Google faster?
Oh, I'm already on the Wikipedia page. Calm down. Oh, the fourth one was The Last Revelation. The Last Revelation.
Oh.
1, 2, 3, Last Revelation. Chronicles. Oh, that's right, there's 5 on the PS1.
Oh, wow.
Whereas Chronicles, they made a lot of... Yeah, they made a lot of Tomb Raider games, Jesus. And then Angel of Darkness. And then they reboot it as Tomb Raider Legends, Tomb Raider... What, Awakening?
That's the last one.
Wait, the Legend, Anniversary, and Underworld.
Underworld, okay, Underworld.
Underworld.
Yeah, that was like the newest one.
Anniversary came out in 2007?
Yeah.
Why did I think that was like a much more recent game?
No.
So, but yeah, okay, the reboot Tomb Raider is the point. And I never played it before is the point. And the reboot is very, very good. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's very Uncharted-y. Well...
It's very Uncharted-y, but like...
It's Uncharted-y, not in tone.
No, the tone is kind of, like, lost, really.
The tone is kind of, like... It's kind of Resident Evil-y, to be honest. Not as hokey, but it's very...
I could see that.
It's not dark, but, like, it's dark in, like, the horrificness of it, but it's not all that... It's not as dark as it probably should be for all the death and casualties. Yeah,
there's a little bit of dissonance in, like, the way these characters are reacting to this
right,
terrifying
like,
situation.
They're not as afraid as they should be.
They're like, oh, the shipwrecked, just come to the spot.
Like, there's a part, like, I got a part, like, Laura Croft was, like, dumped into, like, a pit of bodies. Like, everywhere. And I'm like, that should be the worst traumatic thing ever. And she's like, oh, I gotta get out of here. like, yeah, you better, I guess. But like, you know, it's a third-person shooter platformer, you know? You climb a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You shoot a lot of things. So it's very Uncharted-y in that. But it's very well done. It captures that very well.
You know, it's a little thing. And the only other game, really, to ever do this was Uncharted. And it's a thing I've wanted games to do for a long time. when you're, like, walking through the environment...
Like, she reaches her hand out.
And, well, no, she's, like, looking around at stuff.
Like, Lara Croft's anime... Like, overall, the animation and, like, the graphics, they don't match Uncharted levels. And, like, the acting and stuff like that. Like, the voice acting.
No, but just, like, it's
close.
It's pretty close.
And the set pieces are, like, on that Uncharted level. There's some pretty cool stuff that happens. But, like, what I do like that it does that Uncharted does not do is the cover system is completely automatic. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're by cover, you just duck under it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's... What? Oh, they should all do that. That makes sense. I like that. And again, it's like, the story, it's not, like, gripping, and it is probably... Again, it's like, man, this is violent. Like, oh, this video game shit's getting too violent for me. You know, a lot of people are worried... that the game was going to be this kind of, like, sexist, weird thing where everybody was going to rape Lara Croft. Not the case at all.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's surprising.
They did a very poor job with that early marketing for the game. Because they were the ones who said it. They're like, oh, we're going to really challenge Lara, and we're going to beat her up, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you don't do that,
I mean,
really.
She does get the crap beat out of her, but yeah, at no point... Well, you know what? What was that game that came out where, like, all the people you fought called your character a bitch every 2 seconds?
Batman?
Yeah, exactly. When you're Catwoman, like, all the people, like, every 2 seconds, like, oh, that bitch. Like, no one says that. Nobody makes, like, any off... Like, no one says anything about Lara Croft's breasts. Mm-hmm. There's no innuendo. There's no romantic interest. No one's hitting on Lara Croft. And no one is... I think maybe there was one point where somebody was kind of creepy towards her. And that was it. It's actually kind of shocking, just, like, how much they don't go there. Probably because they were sensitive to it, because they realized, like, what the image is of Lara Croft... And like,
well, let's be frank. When Lara Croft was not created, some guy didn't go, I have this story to tell about this woman. No, they're like, let's put giant polygonal breasts on her so people will buy this.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And this does a lot to kind of give her credibility, finally. Mm-hmm. She's not a joke anymore.
Right.
As she's kind of been for a long time.
Well, you know, Eidos or Square Enix or whoever didn't like to be like, and here's the... this year's model to portray Lara Croft at E3 to coincide... Like,
yeah, that's always a big deal for some reason.
Well, they made it a big deal, because that's all it was.
Right.
And they, like, finally stopped doing that. They let the franchise grow up a bit.
You know what the game kind of reminds me of is Far Cry 3. Because of the whole island survival.
Yeah, you're on the island and everything.
Well, it's weird, because there's, like, a hunting mechanic, but it's not nearly as necessary as, like, in Far Cry 3.
Yeah, like...
You can do it, and you get some extra experience, and,
like, they make, like, a big deal about her finding food the first time, and, like, it never... It's not like you have to keep eating or anything.
No, yeah, exactly.
Which is fine. Like, but, that wouldn't be fun.
No. Well, that's a snake eater, but it's not snake eater. I'm pretty impressed with it.
Yeah, like, the game has a great atmosphere.
Yeah, it is a good-looking game.
Like, even like the atmospheric music that plays is really great, and I like it.
I don't know about the music, and like I like that. Like, most of the puzzles are really regulated more to optional.
What you said, regulated and relegated?
Yeah, thank you. So like these optional tomb things, and it's cool because they're not very long puzzles, but you kind of get it.
I've heard them compared to like the crypts in Assassin's Creed.
Well, see, I was almost worried about that because those crypts in Assassin's Creed are long.
They are long,
and they kind of say they're welcome. These are not long.
That's good.
Doing pretty quickly. There's like a good puzzle to them, and it was cool. It's like the game really does become more interesting as you go along. Like probably I do more I play it, the more I like it. Like at first, when you're just kind of working off, you have a bow and arrow. It's like all right. But you kind of get a lot of gadgets, and what I like is there's not a zillion weapons. You have 4 weapons. You got, you know, you have the pistol, shotgun, machine gun, and a bow.
Okay.
That's all you need. I kind of hate when it's like, here's your 10 options for a machine gun.
Yeah.
They all shoot a lot of bullets real quickly.
Yeah, I know. So that's the Call of Duty thing.
No, exactly. Like, even Uncharted does that. I'm like, what's the difference between an M5 and a thing? I don't know. So,
you see the caliber of the rifle.
But just like sometimes, like, you get this, like, rope dart thing where, like, you can shoot a bow and arrow, and it, like, grabs on something, you can kind of pull it.
Oh, that's cool.
And stuff like that. Yeah, it's pretty... I'm very surprised how much I'm liking it. It's a very well-made game. Like, it does a great job of kind of introducing mechanics and kind of opening things up. And the shooting does feel really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are moments where, like, shooting stuff. And like I said, there are some pretty cool set pieces. You know, it's ridiculous. Like, oh, everything's exploding now. Better run. She does get... unrealistically the crap beaten out of her. There's like no way this girl would not be tired. I mean, you're like, you know, it's just like, oh.
Your comic pretty well hit the nail on the head.
Well, yeah, there's like one part where like you like after like fighting off 10 wolves and like you like at this point you have a bow and arrow, so they bite you a lot before you beat them, and you're like been falling, you've been stabbed and all this stuff. You suck.
I'm sorry, I hit the wrong button.
Right. But, and all this stuff happens, and, like, you meet this one guy, he's like, oh, a leg bit me, I need you to climb that radio tower. I was like, fuck you, you climb the radio tower. I'm gonna take a nap. But, no, I'm surprised how much I like it. It's cool. Really fun. It's pretty, it's well put together.
Just like Lara Croft.
I've been playing this, have you heard of this game called Harmonite?
Yes, upcoming I couldn't tell you anything about it.
It's an upcoming 3DS game. It's coming out later in the month. It's
demo comes out tomorrow.
Does it? It's made by Game Freaks.
No, it's the Pokemon
guys. And it's like Bit Trip Runner. It's a running rhythm game. Yeah. Endless Runner, not Endless Runners, but it's a running rhythm game.
Okay.
And it's very much like you know, you're running and you have a jump and attack, but so far anyways, and it's like, you know, jump and attack in time. It's really cool, though. It's really fun. Like, it's... You're not so much jumping over obstacles like you are, but you have, like, stars, and you have to, like, kind of, like, you know, collect them all.
Uh-huh.
And it goes to the beat. And when you see a monster coming, like, you kind of have to pick up on the drum beat so you know when to hit them perfectly. And, just stuff like that. And, you know, I'm not very far into it, so it's still been kind of simple, but it's been really cool and really fun, and it's very charming.
Good.
Because Game Freaks knows that. Like, you have your... It's like... Your name is, Well, you have a pet rabbit who's named Tappy, and your name's Tempo. And your like mentor's name Woodwind. It's like all these, you know, it's goofy, fun. It's silly, and but it's a cute game, and it's really fun. I've been liking it. I've just started the campaign for StarCraft II: Heart of the Swarm. I've never been the biggest StarCraft guy. I can't play it online to save my life. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's a terrifying idea. Like, you must beat a random matchmaking game of StarCraft II to live. Oh God, no!
Well, it was a good run,
right? But. I played through the Wings of Liberty campaign, which was very random of me. I did enjoy it.
Finish that.
It wasn't very hard. And it's not really that much about how good you are at StarCraft because there's always a gimmick to every mission.
Yeah.
But this is even cooler though because you know, because I haven't played StarCraft a lot, the Zerg are still a very fresh concept to me. Whereas when you're playing as a Terran, it's like I'm playing Warcraft again, which I played a lot more Warcraft than StarCraft. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Terran are basically just the humans or the orcs or whatever. And this is more like, you know, the Zerg are got their whole weird mutating thing.
Yeah.
And they do some cool stuff with that. And it's a pretty game. I don't really have a lot to say about, but the campaign's been fun so far.
Good.
Blizzard knows how to do presentation well.
Yes, that is true.
It's a pretty game.
Let's see. I played the beta weekend event for Neverwinter.
The new free-to-play Neverwinter game.
Yeah, from Cryptic.
I saw you playing. Cryptic's making it.
Yeah. Star Trek Online guys. Oh, yeah, and Champions Online.
Right, right.
It's cool because it's really the first video game I know of that's using 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, but that's like your big selling point of it, which is not nearly enough to get me all that excited.
The other fun selling point to it, I guess, is...
It's more real-time.
Yeah, it's more of an action game than like... You know, there's no... there's kind of a hot bar.
It's kind of still
hot basically because... So, D&D 4th Edition breaks down skills into at-wills, encounter powers, and daily powers.
Yeah, I know.
And the way that translates... I know you know. I'm just playing it to the people.
I know.
So, the way the game translates that into an MMO is... Your at-wills are bound to the left and right mouse button. Your encounters are Q, E, and R. And they basically just have like an approximately 10-second cooldown that can be adjusted by various stats.
Mm-hmm.
And then your daily powers, which are 1 and 2... are limited by a meter that fills up
They're
over time.
Not literally once a day.
Yeah. It's just really to set the frequency of use.
Mm-hmm.
But it plays really well, because it's like you're always in mouse look. You're not clicking on things and targeting them, you're just aiming.
Mm-hmm. This is nice.
Movement is very important. Every class has some kind of thing where you hit the shift key and they... dodge.
Mm-hmm.
Like the cleric actually holds his holy symbol and like a burst of power causes him to slide across the ground, which is really fun.
I mean, it looks cool, but it is another fantasy MMO. Mm-hmm. And more specifically, it's medieval fantasy, which has not typically been my favorite kind of fantasy.
You know, I mean? Like it.
I don't like.
I like that kind
of
fantasy.
Like that sort of dungeony fantasy, like everything's made out of cobblestone.
Yeah,
like man, it's not my favorite aesthetic. I don't have much interest.
That's going to be the big deal about this game is because it's Dungeons & Dragons based. You're going to be able to make your own modules for other players to play.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to experience any of that in the beta. I don't know how deep that goes, but conceptually, it's a good idea. So hopefully, I'll get to play more the next time there's a beta event and. Maybe get to some of that. it's going to be free to play, so it's not like,
yeah, I guess,
you know, you have to risk too much.
I just mentioned that they're just wanting this one free to play from the beginning.
That's true, yeah. There hasn't really been a lot of MMOs like that yet.
Right.
That have started free to play, so that's cool. The other thing I play that I want to talk about just a little bit is the Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate demo for both 3DS and Wii U.
Well, you're the biggest Monster Hunter fan.
Yeah, right. Well, I'll tell you this. It's a hell of a lot better on a TV with two analog sticks.
Yeah,
Well, I played on the 3DS first.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the full game will, but the demo does not let you use the Circle Pad Pro.
Oh, really? Weird.
Yeah. Didn't the Metal Gear demo do that, too?
No, it did.
Some demo. Maybe, no, Kingdom Hearts didn't let you use the...
I think you're right. Although, I didn't use the Circle Pad Pro when I actually played Kingdom Hearts.
Right.
That was weird.
Well, they put a D-pad on the touchscreen because the D-pad is the camera.
That's funny.
And I just don't understand... Like, the monsters in this game move very fast. They're very, very fast monsters that will run past you and run circles around you. And if you can't control the camera with a second analog stick, like, there's no lock-on or anything. You're just completely trying to just run and stop and turn the camera and move and stop and turn the camera and attack.
It's very hard to hunt monsters.
Yes! Like, I literally don't know how you play this game on a PSP, which is where this series has kind of lived for a long time.
Right.
I don't know how you did it.
I played that spin-off. Oh, not spin-off, that rip-off, Lord of Arcana.
Yes.
I don't really remember. I think he used down R to change camera. It wasn't great.
Like, I don't understand why there isn't, like, a hold-down left trigger to focus on this enemy.
No, I don't know.
But then, you know, you play on the Wii U, and all of a sudden you got that analog stick, and, oh, okay, the thing ran past you. I'm going to move the camera.
Right.
How novel.
You know, it look a lot better on the Wii U? Not really.
It looks like...
I guess these are still old models.
Yeah, it looks like your Ratchet & Clank collection does, really.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. Of course, the demo has no online play, so you can't really... They give you two little AI guys, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Wii U version. I hated every minute of the 3DS version. The screen's too small. I can't control the camera. I got my ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
Literally the same game on the Wii U. I hunted the monster successfully.
There you go.
So I was like, all right, that's the first time I've ever pulled that off.
Hey.
Just... One of my fundamental problems with that series... It does that thing that a lot of Japanese action games do, where you're wailing away at this monster with a sword, and it's acting like there's nothing there.
Well,
it's going through its attack animations regardless of what you do.
Well,
but
what do you want?
Conversely to that, if this thing sneezes at you, your guy goes flying through the air.
Well, what do you want? That? Oh, it's being attacked. It can't fight back.
No, I mean there's got to be like a middle ground, because the other problem too is you're. Attack combos always cause you to keep progressively moving forward.
Yeah, it's very Fancy Star Online-ish.
Yeah, except that your combos are like 7 hits deep.
Right.
And if you're off to the side a little bit, or if the creature moves a little bit...
That's the meta that you're just not appreciating right now.
I don't know. It's just... It feels imprecise.
Well, who knows. Alright, you ready for the community stuff?
Yeah.
What are people talking about?
So I asked everyone about,
I'm sorry I haven't been on there, by the way.
Yeah,
this
you're
week.
A jerk.
Eh, I've been distracted.
First of all, Zach Egolf answered the call. And since approximately the year 2007, there have been 29 Naruto games.
Really? There's been 29? There's. What the hell?
Since 2007. So thank you,
what?
Zach.
Why? Who bought all 29 of these games? God. That's funny. Thank you, Zach.
Also,
but we're not going great. There literally probably have been like one every month. Okay, what's next?
Jeff wanted to speak about the Respawn thing. He didn't seem to agree with you.
What was I was saying that they're dumb.
Well, he's saying we have not seen anything of this game, so it's kind of unfair to assume it's going to be derivative of Call of Duty.
It's going to be a first-person shooter.
You know, he said this could be the thing to knock Call of Duty down. There's usually only one top shooter. And he was being defensive of Jason West, you know.
Well, I can't remember. I think he likes Call of Duty, or one of the things like... So he, you know, he's one
he likes Call of Duty. Yeah, he's a Call of Duty.
Yeah, he likes Call of Duty. I don't. So I can understand why he's a bit more... You know, I'm being unfair, admittedly, but it's just because I don't give a crap about Call of Duty.
He finally feels like it's... He thinks they can't be making a Call of Duty clone because it's been proven that's not going to work.
Well, people have made dumb decisions before.
Right.
So who knows?
And then
look at the track record of those guys is they made Medal of Honor, and they made Call of Duty, kind of expecting the next thing to be, you know, a war first-person shooter, you know?
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe I'll be surprised. But again, it's like, it's a worse, you know, you can't wow me too, but like, surprise, it's a sci-fi shooter, you know? That can't be the big difference. I'm sick of, yeah, I don't know. Something.
Right. Then, let's see, I asked everybody their opinion on how the whole SimCity launch has been handled.
I don't know.
A lot of people agree with us that, you know, you were a fool to think this would launch with no problems.
Right. But even so, I didn't think they would be as bad as they were. Even since we recorded that last episode, I mean, it's still been bad.
Yeah, it's still not quite there.
Uh-huh.
My issue that I brought up is every time anyone from EA addressed it, there was never, like, an apology and an admission of fault. It was always like, oh,
you guys, it's just too popular. It's too
popular. We can't.
Our game's just too cool.
We didn't see this coming. And then, like, even like when things started getting better and they released their statement about that, he's like, I wanted to give you guys an update and I'll keep it short because I know pretty much anyone who cares is too busy building cities.
Like, I want to punch you in the face.
At this point, I feel like, I mean, yeah, it's good you're addressing the fans who are trying to play the game, but you almost need to be talking more to the people who are like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to buy this now. Yeah. They really fucked this up. You need to be saying, hey, if you're on the fence, here's what we're doing. Please buy our game.
I'm interested to see the sales numbers for SimCity.
We're never going to, because so much of it's going to be digital. Right.
That's true. They can really control the message on this one.
Exactly.
Huh? Whoops.
But an opinion that Pete put out there, Pete Davison, is that really, while EA may have been fuck-ups, we shouldn't be blaming Maxis. They've been very good about this. They've been fairly open and communicative. You know, you're trying to say...
But they still stand behind the philosophy of the always-online single
which,
player.
If a report from Rock, Paper, Shotgun is to be believed...
It's very easy to make an offline mode, where they say they can't do it.
No, they're like all the stuff that I've even been saying in their defense about how, like, there's computations in the cloud, it's just a lie.
Right, right.
Like, a straight-up, bold-faced lie.
Who knows how much blame or not Max deserves. That's the thing, like, we don't know. I don't know.
It just makes you wonder when... It
makes me glad I don't like SimCity.
Yeah. Like I said, when a company as big as EA, with a franchise as big as SimCity, can't make this shit work...
Right.
What does it take?
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Alright, releases?
Okay.
Alright, God of War Ascension.
Ooh.
StarCraft II Heart of Swarm. It's been a very big week, I guess.
Yeah, right? Random.
Sniper 2, Ghost Warrior 2.
Yeah.
Just Sniper Ghost Warrior 2. There's not 2-2s in there. Darkstalkers Resurrection for PS3 and 360. The last Darkstalkers game I had was one for the PSP, of all things.
No fun.
I mean, they're fun. They're Capcom 2D fighters.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting into. A lot of super meters and, you know, quarter rolls. And that's it.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening to the EB Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Kind of weird. You also find us at our Facebook book at Facebook.
Facebook book!
And what am I doing? Facebook site? Page?
Yeah.
Go to facebook.com/explodingbarrel. And twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. And that's that. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye. Bye. I don't know, like, that's why, like, I kind of wish there'd be more Doritos ads.